We continue Be'ezer Hashem's Baruch, Ketzer Shulchan Aruch, Simen Pei, Simen Lam, Siflam Dvav. Somebody was walking, V'giya L'masamayim, and he came to a place where accumulation of water, Yochel Adalag L'Kvitzala, he could jump over it, Afil R'chavi, even if it's quite wide, U'mutav Shiyadalag, and it's preferable that he should jump over it, Ma'amash Yaakov versus circling it, Ne'shemaba B'hilach, by walking around it, you're going to walk more than you have to. And what we're learning from here is that one of the things that Chazal wanted us to avoid in Shabbos is tircha, doing something which requires energy. And walking around takes more energy, and therefore we should avoid it. But furthermore, we should indeed, everything we do, we should think about, is this a tircha? Because if it's a tircha, it shouldn't be done in Shabbos, unless there's a good reason. So if somebody is going to a shul, to Beis Medrash, to a shir, that's acceptable, because that's very, very constructive purpose. Or if somebody enjoys taking a walk, then also he's allowed to take that walk, if that causes him enjoyment. Otherwise, ma'abar b'hiluch, we're learning, is to be avoided. And this halacha, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, is not only when we're talking about a puddle of water. It's anything. If there's dirt, there's mud, we should try to avoid it. Another reason why one should now walk through this puddle of water, because we don't want to come to Shechita. Even in another circumstance, any situation where somebody could slip and fall into water, one may now walk on Shabbos, Shema Yishu Begadav, because his clothing may fall into that water, Yavla Dei Shechita, and he could have the Isra Shechita. Sif Lamed Zayin, Hayolch V'Amitzvah, if somebody's walking to do a mitzvah, could go in L'Hagbuk Nei Oviv, a rabbi, to greet his father, his Rebbe, Misha Goldman, somebody who's a bigger Talmud Chacham, Yochel Lava Benar, he could walk through a river, walk through water, but he has to now walk in the normal fashion. Kigoin, Shloyotzi Yodov, Mitachas Fas Chalukah, he should keep his hands in his pockets. Kadesh Yiska, that he should remember that he has to be most careful, Layova de la Shechita, to avoid coming to Shechita. Vasalav Basandaloi, one may now walk with a shoe, with a sandal that isn't tight around the foot. The Kimdeina Yochalahatka Lakosha Yafa, since he can't make it tight around his foot, Khashina Dimal Nafavasulasuya, the concern is that the shoe may fall off and he may come to carry it. Aval Biminalay, if it's a foot shoe that fits tightly, the Kimishalak Lvar Mitzvah, then he could be lenient. The Kimishalak Lvar Mitzvah, and if somebody's going to Dvar Mitzvah, so with the reasons that he may, Mutalach, sir, he could even return, because otherwise we're concerned that he won't want to go if he will not be able to return. But if he's going to protect his property, the Shmir Smaina have a Gamkein Ktsas Mitzvah, protecting a property does mean somewhat of a mitzvah. Mutalai Laval Balicha, then the Hadlach only allows you to go through such a place on the way going, Avalai B'chazara, not on the way back. Sif Lamed Ches, Tet Shal B'gadai, if there's dirt on your garment, Imulach, if it's still moist, B'gadai B'tzapare B'sakin, you could scrape it off with your fingernail or with a knife. Aval Imhu Yavish, if it's already dried on, Osel G'adai, then you may not scrape it off. Shundava K'toichen, scraping off a dried on stain, the halacha would be considered an act of teichen. Moreover, the Mishnah Berurah says to scrape it off in a way that it will not have any remnant of the stain is also asur, because that's malabin, unless the stain was not a very serious stain in the first place. Somebody who wants to rub together different parts of his garment like that to clean it, the halacha is that may not be done. And a general rule is that using a brush, a garment brush, a hat brush, may not be done on Shabbos. Beged shachar, black garment, osla naroi, one may not shake off hashelik, snow or avik or dust. If, however, snow has accumulated on your clothing and it hasn't yet melted, and you just want to shake it lightly, that's permissible. Aval lahasim imena anoitz biyodai. If there's small specks of dirt and you want to just take them off with your hands, mutter, that's not considered cleaning. However, v'yesh choshigam b'zois, there's some suggest that one should not do this either. Sif mem, tichal ragloi menolov, if there's dirt on your feet or on your feet, on your shoes, yachal lasira b'davish mutl tatloi, you're allowed to remove that dirt with something which is not muksa, oy sheyichenu b'kairo, or you should rub it, your shoe or the foot against a beam, against a piece of wood, but don't rub it, because that already looks like memachik. It looks like you're smoothing something out. However, the Pais can say, since the bottom of our shoes are not a shoe, that the bottom of the shoe is smooth, and the floor that you're rubbing the shoe on is not an earth floor, it's made out of wood or marble or whatever, then there's halach, we could be more lenient. B'shasat chak, and when there's a serious situation, k'goin should soy al raglo yamanolav, that there's waste on your feet or on your shoes, vein davish mutl tatloi, and there's nothing available that you can move, yochel kanach b'koysel, you could rub it against the wall. V'im ein koysel, if there's no wall available, kanach b'karka, you could rub it against the floor. V'im yesh lemayim, if you have water, yochetz lichetz, you could wash your shoe with water, if it's made out of leather. As we've been discussing in our shurim, there are differences in halacha between different materials. And by leather, just pouring water on leather is not, given that the material is not really an absorbent material, it's not considered an act of kibbutz. Only if you really rub it is it considered an act of kibbutz, otherwise it's not. Ava besaken with a knife, also lagar that soy vatid min aminol, you may not rub off the dirt from the shoe, shall or even made out of leather. Apparently they had some sort of a metal piece in front of their homes that they used to use to clean their shoes. Imuchad, if it's sharp, osl garboy, you can't use it to get the dirt off your shoes. But if it's not sharp, then mutter, you would be allowed to. Sif memalv, neslach yodi b'tir. If your hand got dirty, like yechenem b'mapa, don't use a towel shemekanch b'yadayim. The chayshin shem yichapsa. There's a concern that you're going to come to wash it. And that's why the Paiskim say that whenever it comes to clean something, the best would be to clean it with a paper towel or a napkin, because there's no concern that you're going to wash a paper towel or a napkin. You're just going to throw them out. And that's why that would be the best way to clean in such circumstances. Sif membeis, also let's buy shum dover. You may not dye anything. I feel a bit savish and a meskayim, even with something where the color will not last. Now, there are different questions that come up. People have glasses that change colors when you go out to the sun, they get darker. That the Paiskim says that I didn't do anything to change the color. It's only considered a groma and it's mutter. If, however, I have to do something to cause the color to change, I have to put something into water, for example, then or cause it to be exposed to heat, that would be usur. On the other hand, wearing a wristwatch or any type of clock that glows in the dark, that is no problem. And that's why women may not put on makeup on a face, because it's called tzviya. Certainly the Paiskim say, any makeup that is oil-based may not be used on Shabbos. Something which is not oil-based and has to be something that doesn't really last for many hours. There, and the woman really, really is embarrassed to walk out without that makeup. So if it's a makeup that's not oil-based and doesn't last many hours, then maybe there's room for leniency. If somebody's hands are colored because of the fruit that he ate, he shouldn't hold on to anything with those hands. They're coloring the garment. And again, since Bismanazeh, no one is really interested in coloring anything that way, there's no real concern. Or if somebody's bleeding, like a Kanech B'mappa, because you're causing that towel to get colored red. Again, it's always better, as we said a moment ago, to use paper towels, tissues, napkins. But if you're using a material towel, you're certainly not interested in coloring them with blood, and there's room for leniency. Sif Mem Gimel. Ein litn karka mutar kasho. One shouldn't put a spice that has a reddish color into the food. So here we open up the question of ein tzviya ba'ichlan or yesh tzviya ba'ichlan. Is there a concern of tzviya when you're working with food? So certainly in a situation where your entire goal is just that you want to put this spice in, then we could be lenient because you have no intention. The color is irrelevant to you. When you have intention both for the taste and for the color, then there's a concern. So it's a machlokes if you should or if you're allowed to do it or not. If your entire goal is to color this food, that's going to make it more desirable, more attractive. That is considered tzoveya. There are people that have in their bathrooms a soap that gives off a color when you flush the bathroom in order to clean it, but it also gives it a color and a scent. You could be lenient with that. Sif mem dalad. Oslakroy, one may not tear or weave a fil shnei chetim two threads or saras atlushas. You are not allowed to pull out threads from anything. And when we speak about spilling threads out from anything, it doesn't only mean pulling hair out of a living thing. Pulling hair out of a wig, for example, or any garment that's made out of hair, you're not allowed to pull out those hairs. Sif memhei aderchu, the halach is kishrich l'ksha ezadova b'shnei chita or mashich, when we have to tie two strings together, or we have to put one of the threads around something, and then we tie the two ends, like we have with a belt, for example, and it's very common to make a double knot, so with one knot, it won't remain strong enough. This may not be done in Shabbos. One may not make a double knot on Shabbos. Even if it's your intention to leave it there, to not have it there for the whole day. And therefore, for example, if somebody has tzitzis and he sees that the knot by the tzitzis is loosening, he's not allowed to tighten them. Or if they're tight, he's not allowed to untie it. And l'chatchila, as we said, one should not tie or untie a double knot, even if it wasn't made for one day. And this would include tying shoelaces. In all these cases, one should not make a double knot. One should not make a double knot. The paiskim, the Ktzayis HaShulchan says an interesting heter. He says, if you made a double knot, but you made it in a way that you only need one hand to untie the knot, and it's something that you only intend to have for that day, there may be room for leniency. You have to be careful with scarves or ties that you put around the neck. Shalasat by Shabbos Shnei Ksharim, on Shabbos you shouldn't make a double knot. The Kain, Be'erev Shabbos, or even if you made it from before Shabbos, Lo Yeh by Shnei Ksharim, it should not be double knotted. Dim Kain also Latir by Shabbos, because it'll come on, because then you're going to have a problem how to open this on Shabbos. The Kain Lasas Afil Kesh Ech Beroy Shalchot, even to make a knot, not tying two sides together, one thread that you make a knot at the top, a Meshicha, or to make two separate corners, to make one knot is asur. Because this type of knot, even though it's only one knot, but it's made in a way that's going to be tight, and since it's made in a way that's going to be tight, then even though it's only one knot, it's asur. But to make, when we started, you're tying something together, you're tying shoelaces together, and you make a knot, and on top of that, you don't make another knot, you make a bow, the olive aniva, you make on top of it a bow. And the Paiskim say, it doesn't, Mishnah Berurah says, it doesn't have to be a bow. You're doing something to tighten it. You'll tuck the threads in to that thing that you have around to keep it tight. Imudavar, if it's done with the intention, Shadak Latira by Biyoim, that's done, that you're going to untie it that day, then for sure it's mutter. The Bi'alocha says that in certain circumstances, one could be even lenient up to 7 days. But for one day, it's mutter, then lav, but if it's for longer, it's usur. I feel ma'isadata la'tira b'yoyim, and even if you had a mind to do it for just that day, and then you kept it, you should go out of your way to untie that bow around the knot. To make a double bow, that's permissible. Even if you make many bows, even in a situation where it is your intention that it should remain like that for many days.